We're not supposed to be fair weather Christians. When the bottom falls out and we're singing these songs like this, I sing through shade and sunshine. I trust him whatever befall. I mean, these aren't just a bunch of hollow words. They're not. All right. I like this. I'm going to keep that. And now we're going to get into the message. Since I didn't know I was preaching, I went ahead and looked at the back table when I came in. And so tonight we're going to, I saw this back, it says the double curse of booze, so I'm just going to preach that thing, okay? You don't believe me, do you? No, I'm lying. Again. All right. But I do have a message for you tonight, and I did not come up here with the intention of preaching, but your pastor is doing something important. Sounds to me like he's taking care of his wife or something like that, so you probably know more than I do. And so we're going to go ahead and preach about pastors who stay home taking care of their wives. You don't believe me? Just don't do zoom in. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 5. Okay, good. That clock is up there. We don't keep a clock in the back of Sligo Baptist Church on purpose because people sit there and they go like this. And they stay there. They want to make sure I see the back of their head looking at the clock. So I took it off, I put it on the front pew. I know, but I'll be respectful, more respectful for you. I am one of those long-winded guys. I just flap my gums, and I'm married to somebody who's an introvert, and she's okay with letting me do all the talking. So, all right, Proverbs chapter 5, and the message tonight is called Instructions to the Husband. So, sirs, I don't know if we got any whippersnappers, young guys in here. Probably you. Do you have a wife yet? Okay. All right. So this is for the future. This is a big deal. I hope you haven't messed up yet. But if you've made mistakes, you know we do serve a God of second and third and fourth chances. You know what a wise man does? He will fall and he rises up again. Real men get up again. All right. So. Ladies, you can kind of just sit there and bask a little bit tonight, I'm thinking, and say, yeah, I want some of that, all right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 5, and I'll read two verses, and I've already asked God to bless. This is no accident. God knew before the beginning of time that I'd be at your little church, or your nice big church. Ours is a little church. Amen. Proverbs 5 and verse 18 and 19, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with who? The wife of thy youth. And so I'm 55. My wife and I met when we were in college and stuff. But I was later, a little bit older when I went to college. But I was 27 when I met her, married at 28. And so we got married in our 20s. Good enough, right? We're in our 20s. Now we're in our 50s. She's the wife of my youth. She's the first and only wife I've ever had, and I'm very grateful because I almost messed up twice. But boy, I tell you what, did God take care of me. He didn't just save me. He didn't just give me a wonderful wife, but he protected me from things out there that I was, anyway. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Father, would you take these words, this preacher, these people, have your way with us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now I want to go somewhere. Second Chronicles, Genesis, Exodus, Second Chronicles, you'll find it. It's right there. And we're going to read a few verses out of that. These are sober, they're negative, but they're factual. So let's go ahead and chew on that for a little bit. And then we're going to take what I just said in Proverbs 5 about our wife, the wife of our youth, okay? And then we're going to take this story right here, and then we're going to go to somewhere else, and then we're going to plow ahead. Amen? I'm telling you what I'm telling you. And then I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to tell you what I told you. I learned that somewhere. I don't know. It must have been preacher school or something. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. You being an established church, you probably all beat me to it. I got saved at the age of 33. I was a Roman Catholic, altar boy, very faithful to my Pope, my Catholic upbringing. And then I met a soul winner overseas on the island of Sicily, and he told me how to be saved according to the Bible. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. And I went to his church a week later. It was a little independent Baptist church over you know, Sicily, and I got saved. The second time I went there, I was stunned that salvation was that perfect, that simple, that beautiful, that lasting. I can't believe it. It was just right there in front of my face all those years, and I never bothered to look. You know, never bothered to look. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And we're going to skip around a little bit, but we'll start in verse 5. And here's why I'm showing this to you. Let's look at this knucklehead. Let's look at this guy, and don't be that guy. Don't be like this guy. All right, verse 5. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. Okay, that's not good. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. She's coming from real good stock there, as you can see. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Go down to verse 12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet. Boy, the preacher getting his nose stuck in people's business. Look at this. Man, I bet, by the way, Pastor Leatham in this church, I've already told my wife, if I croak, Amy, come to, I don't even know if I've told him, but come to this place right here. You can be neighbors with Ron and Jennifer and be up here. And anyway, that was a commercial break because some of you, I think, worked all day long and started to nod already. That's a dangerous thing. All right. Verse 12 in the middle somewhere. Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Verse 15, and thou shalt have great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. This was probably back when it was COVID too, all right? Some people say, don't joke about it. Whatever. Verse 18. We've had it. We've had it in our family. We live to tell about it. That was a joke. Verse 18. And after all this, the Lord smote him in the bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in process of time, after the end of 2 years, isn't that kind of typical what I know that, you know, cancer hits someone, and then they go through all the treatment, and you know they catch it in stage four, or they catch it early. It just kind of runs its course, and it's not a pleasant thing. But this guy right here, God struck him. God's making a point here for you and I to take notice of. And he went ahead and finished him off after 2 years. His bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, and so he died of sore diseases. That's sad, isn't it? I'm not going to preach a message here like, you better be nice to your wife or your bowels are going to get sick. That's not the message. But this guy had a pattern of unrighteousness. I don't care what your background is or where you came from, but I know what we got today. We got a God that changes not. He's on the throne. And you and I can learn from the good and the bad and the ugly. God doesn't censor anything. Like all this social media out there. They just want to shield and lie the truth. They're so scared. Man, we got the book, we got our hope in Jesus, and he's still alive, so your hope's still alive, amen? Let's finish off verse 19. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. They didn't care. Verse 20. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings. Nobody missed Jehoram. Nobody missed this guy. Now, I don't want to live my life so that people cry and weep and all that stuff. If I do a good job and serve the Lord, that's all that really matters. I know I've been a pretty good dad. I've been a pretty good husband. I know there's in a halfway decent pastor. I think I'm going to have at least 7 or 8 people that are going to cry at my passing. But I don't live for that. And you shouldn't either. Let's get our priorities in order if you don't have them in order. And you know what? One of the best priorities in the whole wide world is the wife of thy youth. What could help our homes and our churches and our communities and the name of God more than that? Amen. That's good preaching right there. All right. So now let's go to 1 Peter 3:7. We're going to pick this thing apart. I'm going to use 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. That will be our outline. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with who? Your wife. You know, my wife said this. I was a pastor. My wife would say this. You need to dwell with me according to knowledge. You know what? Honestly, when she said that, I ignored her. I was like, what? I mean, I knew it was a verse somewhere in the Bible. But I was like, why is she saying that? And I'll be honest with you. It took me a couple of years, and I went ahead, and I sat down, and I pored over this verse. Not like we were on the verge of divorce or anything. And I thought, why is she pointing me? Why is she rubbing my nose in this verse? You know why? Because I needed it. A lot of us need it. It's good. And now I understand and appreciate why she said it. And she was patient and long-suffering with this guy. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. I need to dwell with my wife, Amy, according to knowledge, comma, giving honor unto the wife. Amen. Let's honor her. Not with lip service, but with your devotion, with your life, with everything. Not just once a year dinner, once a quarter dinner, not like as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Whoop, semicolon, that your prayers be not hindered. See, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't need to worry about this verse, okay? Just skip it. Move on. But if you have a prayer life and you want God to answer and you cry out to the Lord, we had better have things in order. Amen. So point number one tonight, don't be ignorant. Get informed about that woman of yours. Men are not from Mars and women are not from Venus. God made us male and female in his image. Plain as that, God said it. Whether you believe it or not, that settles it. And we're living in a day right now where everything is turned upside down and people are just walking like they're led by like a cow to the slaughter, I mean, through the nose ring, and they're just not questioning it. It's crazy. Where's the critical thinking? All right. By the way, I hear people, and I hate to say it, sometimes Christians, they'll say, sure wish kids came with a manual. Well, they did. Right here. I got five of them. And they're actually pretty good. Amen. And you know what? It's not because Amy and I knew what we were doing. We found out, I got saved at the age of 33, had my first kid. So I was basically saved and had, a 9-month-old, basically. And then Amy was pregnant with our second one. And I was clueless. I just yielded and said, God, I have no idea what to do with those kids. I have no idea how to be a daddy, how to be a husband. And you know, little by little, God helped me. God helped me. I didn't read these dumb books that are out there, you know. I'm a reader now, this is the thing that helped us. So this is our manual. It's also the one that, you know, you wish your wife came with one? It's right here, Christian. All right, let's study this book, men, and let's not be ignorant. And the Bible says, number two, give her honor. Give her honor, right? Didn't it say that? Honor. That means do not disrespect your wife. I know that we shouldn't have to say that, but the Bible also talks about things like loving your wife, women, love your husband. Why does the Bible say that? That's because God knew we'd have some struggles with those things. The aged women, you've got a duty. You've got a duty to the younger women. That it's on your shoulders. Someone's got to see the pattern, see the example of a home that's victorious and joyful, not fraudulent, not a veneer of Christianity, because when the storms come, and they will come, they're watching to see who's faithful. Is this Christian stuff work, or is it just when the sun is out? Amen? Don't put your wife down. Don't divorce her. Don't put her away. Don't degrade her. Don't hit her. Don't yell at her. Don't talk bad to her or about her to anyone. Don't mock her. I'm a provoker. I'm a joker. I got to watch it. And I can cross that line. Amen. And by the way, sometimes people put these things down, but don't. Like cooking and cleaning, they think that's like women's work. Well, if it's so easy having babies and taking care of the home and all that stuff, then why don't you do it? And if you're good at it, then good for you. But don't put down cooking. Everyone loves good food. I know that. You know that. Who loves a clean home? We all do. But it's not going to clean itself. Have some respect. Don't talk about her weight, her age, her wrinkles, none of that nonsense. How about Ephesians 5:21? Do you know what 5:21 tells us? Just like 1 Peter 3:7? Preferring one another, right? And that, we should go ahead and look at it so I don't mess it up. Ephesians 5:21. What's funny about Ephesians 5:21, it comes before 22 and 23. I'm not trying to be cute, but I'm not. Usually I am, but oh, it says submitting yourselves. Probably Pastor Leatherman sitting at home going, doesn't he read the submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God? Submitting? Before you get to 22 and 23, we got to get 21 down, right? We're supposed to already have the principle of a Christian, the way we treat other people, saved or not. Yes, we give priority to the brethren. I'm sure you guys know that. I've got three sisters. I got family like you got. But if someone needs a dollar from me, I'm giving it to the brethren before I dare give it to any of my family members. What, where'd you get that principle from? The Bible. And before wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Yes, your own husband. Before verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, blah, 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 blah. Let's get 21 down in our homes. Submitting yourselves one to another. We ought to, you come to a door, you gotta be, no honey, you first. Right? Amen. I'm not one of these guys that holds the door open for my wife. I know I'm a bad Baptist. I just don't. I don't know. It just seems weird or something like that. But if you do it, good for you. But I hope you do the same thing in your heart at the home. Amen. Good. I just want to pat my own back. I know I'm weird. All right. So to honor, that's what the Bible says there in 1 Peter 3:7. To honor is to prefer. It is to adore, to lift up, respect, put first. In the Greek, if you're one of those people that likes the Greek, that means she gets the biggest piece of cake and the first piece. That's right, it's straight out of the Greek. Don't take a long shower leaving her cold water. Amen. This might save your marriage. If she does it to you, suck it up, buttercup. Just yield to her. They haven't cut me off yet. All right. If you tell me that there's one thing in this world more precious than your wife, then you're probably one of the biggest fools we've ever met. I don't care how cool your truck is. I don't care if you got a Ferrari or a Tesla. That wife of your youth, according to the Bible, is the most precious thing ever. The Bible talks about her as rubies. Rubies. Man, can you imagine having a nice little bag full of rubies? You got more than that. You got a wife. I hope you got a wife. Man, I love my wife. Thank God for my salvation. The next best thing after my salvation is my best friend, my wife. It really is. Where's your wife? She's at home. She was here one of my daughters had to zip on home. We have responsibilities and things too, so they can't. I don't. I'm just a pastor, so I can hang out up here and do stuff. All right, let's go to point number three. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay, so not, in other words, let's not be ignorant. Study her, figure her out, get this in you. Number two, giving honor unto the wife. Amen. Point number three, as unto the weaker vessel. She's your bride. She's not a dish rag. She's a piece of fine linen. She's precious, valuable, rare. She's uncommon. She's your wife. Amen. She's your wife. Nobody should care for your wife but you. You should be first one. Nobody should prefer. You know what I'm saying? Because if she's so well taken care of, I'm talking, she gets the stuff that a woman needs, not just the money and the whatever. I'm talking, you look her in the eye, you pay attention to her. Listen, I go to the grocery store, I can walk up and down the aisles, and one of the things that bothered me was, I didn't know what my wife really liked. But my wife can walk up and down the aisle. She knows what I like. Black olives out of the can. I know that's ghetto food, but I like it. She can walk up down every... So then I went home and I said, you know what, Amy, you told me to dwell with you according to knowledge. I finally, after about 3.5 years, took it to heart. I go, when I walk up and down the grocery aisles, what in the world? What do you like? Honestly, she couldn't think of a thing either. I'm like, phew, whew, now I know. Now I know. You know what it is? Not that it matters, but my wife likes more than anything. She wants some fresh bread. She wants a big fat slice of tomato, smoked turkey. She wants some mayo on both sides, just a little hint of mustard, and some lettuce. And avocado on the side if we got it. And she's happy. And you know what? When she comes home and I'm there, I text her so that she doesn't, you know, go somewhere else. I go, hey, I got you. I got you. I got your sandwich ready for you. Sorry, I already went to Chick-fil-A. I'm like, no. All right, the Bible says she's the weaker vessel. Amen. So don't treat her like she's a common cloth. Amen. I'm convinced of this, you know. So she's 54, I'm 55. And, you know, you get a little bit older, you've got little whatever things happen to yourself. She's like, would you look at me? I went, phew. Not that I know anything, well, I do. But back in the old days, I knew a lot about wine. You know, wine supposedly gets finer with age. I told her, I go, God gave me a taste for older women, you. And I mean it. I meant it. I never looked at 54-year-old women when I was 24. But I look at her now, I'm like, man, yes. That's got to be miraculous. Amen. She's appreciating, you know, like stocks, like, I don't know, what appreciates out there? Something, whatever you're thinking of. Something appreciates, I don't know, maybe cheese, right? So start appreciating her. Amen. Number four, you are heirs together, okay? Your dear wife has the same salvation as you. She's just as entitled to all the Lord's blessings as you, sir. Amen? She's not second fiddle. She's right there next to you. Christianity, by the way, has a very high view of ladies. You know that? You look at all these false religions in the world, all these cults, they have such a low view of women. It's horrible. It's horrible. Man, a lot of people have a low view of church. I don't know why. God invented it. And God has a very high view of church. And he has a high view for the marriage, for the woman, the wife of thy youth. Amen. World religions treat women like a doormat. Let me read a couple verses I have in my notes. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I remember reading that. I don't know, I've been saved 21 years. I remember reading that within the first year or two of my salvation. I couldn't believe. That's a hard verse right there. Talk about, you know, that ain't sugar-coated. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's pretty good. God has a high view of women and widows, indeed, if you know anything about that. They are precious. They are to be protected at all times. Amen? If that means there's a mouse, take care of it. I know. I saw that lady, that my wife. she shuddered over there. If there's a spider, take care of it. Amen? And also, if you know some knowledge that is too heavy for her, I'm not talking about keeping secrets. I'm not. But if there are some things that just will weigh on her too much, you, sir, dwelling according to knowledge, ought to know what will hurt and break or bend her and have some discernment and not burden her with certain things that you know about work or finances or something like that. Don't take that the wrong way. We need to dwell with them according to knowledge, and some things we need to shield and protect them from. All right? There's a lot of families that have all kinds of secrets. I don't like that. Oh, don't tell them about so-and-so. They got sick. Now tell them. So-and-so had a motorcycle accident. Oh, don't tell mom. She'll be mad. I think mom needs to know some things, okay? So you do with that as you please in a proper way. Let's not abuse the weaker vessel. Care for her with tender, loving kindness. Do you know how many times the word kind is in the Bible? Anybody offhand know? Two. You know what all the progressive Marxists talk about? Civility and kindness, right? And good. You know what's funny about those things? I don't see how you take kindness, civility, and just be good for goodness sake. How do you take those three principles, which are nice, and then you talk about butchering babies in the mother's womb and all this perversion out there with homosexuality? It doesn't make sense. And censorship and all this ugliness in the world. There's one thing they hate, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can talk about God, faith, and spirituality all day long, but when you bring up that name, like your sign says, looking unto, yeah, that's right, Mountain Lake Independent Baptist Church. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. We ought to treat that lady of ours 10 times better than a Ferrari or an F-250. Amen. Yeah. See, I couldn't say that where I'm at. That it would be a Tesla or a Prius. You know, up here it's a F-250 or a Chevy, whatever, GMC, you know, 2500. All right. So you and your wife, heirs together, you and your wife are in this thing together. Don't make her go alone. Go it alone. Amen. If she gets sick, you're still in it together, right? Heirs together. You know, well, what about the vows? Now, how about this? Those are nice words and all, and they're good, but what about this? Joint heirs, all right? So, and if you get sick, you'll be glad you treated her right all those years. Amen? That I told my wife, I think I'm pretty good, but I'm afraid I'm going to be the guy that has a stroke, and I'm going to be in the wheelchair, and I said, please, whatever you do, don't park me in a sunbeam. Like when you go out and there's no sunbeam, pay attention where the sun's going to come in and start cooking me. And I'm going to be sitting there with all that oatmeal dripping off my chin. I don't want to be slowly tortured. Love me. They'll be like, yeah, we're getting back at you for all those years. Amen. Hey, this is for you too, sir. You don't want to be stuck in a sunbeam? Amen. This is I'm trying to help you. All right. The Bible tells us, dwell with her in a certain way. Can I just provoke you to do what God says? And God says, do it according to knowledge. You and I are supposed to study that woman. Amen? Study her. That's good. What kind of face cream does she use? That's pretty good. What kind of face cream? Hey, honey, what is one of these? There's like 400 here. Which is it? Which is your favorite one? Amen? Well, actually, wait a minute. Why are you asking? But these are the things. These are the kind of things that may seem petty. Let her do all the little... that doesn't come out right. Let her do certain things. Why can't she pick the color of the carpet, the dishes, the car, and everything else? Amen? Everything but the color of the truck. Amen? If she wants to pick out a big dog, a little dog, a spike collar, a note... Just let her have her way. Spoil her. Is that a wrong? So many people spoil their kids. That's wrong. I think it's evil. But I don't know about this whole spoiling your wife thing. I think I'm on board with that. I don't think we can overdo it. Is there anybody want to debate it after church? I don't think so. We need to treat them way better. All right, let's finish with this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let's read the whole verse, and then we'll conclude. Let's see. Wow, 7:37. My church would be amazed. I would never start wrapping up now. They would be in shock. Right? All right. Anyway, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's the why. Not only is it right, it's proper. But I don't want my God's name to be blasphemed because of the way I treated my wife, my kids, the ministry, the Word of God, my prayer life, my church. Amen? I don't want the Word of God blasphemed. There are people watching you, believe it or not. Okay, quick little example. You have this beautiful park, Broadford Park, right? And anyway, so I'm out there jogging and stuff, and there's like 80 geese out there. And so I bent over and stretched my back, and these geese are all just looking at, well, some are looking at me. I figured they'd all be looking at me because I thought about running down the hill. You know what that big berm is? I thought about running down the hill, slide, and see if I could grab one. But then it would probably scare me because I'm not really a country boy. But anyway, but I was wondering if I could do it. But I didn't. I just sat there, stretched my lower back for like 2 minutes. And I was like, okay, that's good. And then I went like this and reached up and straightened. And all of a sudden, they all just launched off, went into the water. They were watching me. They were paying attention to every move I made. They acted like they weren't, but they were. Well, why are you saying all that? There are people that do watch us, believe it or not. Especially if you're one of these people that's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you actually do talk to people about salvation, and you tell them that the King James Bible is perfect, but more importantly than that, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only one who can save and forgive forever. He remembers your sin no more. Did you know that? Okay, I know you do. I know the kind of church I'm standing in today. So why all this? Christian husband, if you want one prayer answered, just one, my recommendation is you treat that woman like gold. Treat her like gold. I think maybe we're on good ground here. I think the Lord would be like, yeah, I hear that prayer. I might just go ahead and answer that prayer. You've honored my word. You've taken care of that precious, precious woman of yours. You know, one of the things that my wife's father, they're all lost and all that. But I thought about this. Sometimes when I don't feel like being a very nice husband, I think about my wife's dad, and I'm a dad, and I got two girls. And I thought, you know, I married his daughter. He may not have been a Christian, but he would never want his daughter treated unkindly by me. What right do I have to be short and nasty to that woman, to that daughter? Amen. Boy, I tell you what, one of my girls is already married. And you know what's funny? They met in our little tiny church, and they've known each other for 11 years. It's the coolest thing. He's our audiovisual guy. She's our pianist. And they've always liked each other all these years, and things were proper and clean. It was cool. I got to be the guy who marries them, the minister or whatever you call it. Anyway, it was pretty cool. Hey, you want your children to make it in this world and the one to come? I think this verse is one of the secrets. 1 Peter 3:7. You want to be a success? Who doesn't? What man doesn't want to be a success? If you've got no ambition, if you're just one of these lazy video game players, and you know you're fine with being the, yeah, I better not say any jobs or whatever, but if you want to be a success, we had better honor our wives. Amen? Because I can tell you this, I've enjoyed a pretty fair amount of success. No, I don't have 400 people in my church. But I'll tell you what, I had great success in my naval career. I mean, I got promoted faster and better than anybody else. You know why? Because I had a great woman, supported me 24/7. Amazing. And then I go into the ministry, and I came to churches like this, getting support. She was a little scared. You know what I told her? I know God saved me, and then I know that it was like, 4 years later, he called me into the ministry, and then she goes, but where are we going to go? I go, I don't know. We thought we were going to go maybe Korea, Afghanistan, somewhere in the 1040 window. I said, God will take care of us. I know it. It was a little nerve-wracking. But you know what? God has been really good. I went up to Michigan to think about pastoring up there. I didn't want a pastor up there, but the guy who led me to the Lord said, hey, Brother Chris, would you pray about pastoring up here? I went, really? Okay, I'll pray about it. I'll go where God wants me. And I was scared. I told my wife. So the two of us prayed and fasted, told nobody. And for 6 months, we waited on the Lord. And I went up there and preached and some other stuff. We were planning trip number two. And I'm thinking, good night, I want to pastor in Michigan? See, they don't have enough snow. I want to go, there's lots of snow. So we were planning trip number two, and in reading my Bible and praying in the morning, God said, no, you're staying in Silver Spring. Think about Mountain Lake. No, just kidding. The Lord said, no, I've got you where I want you. I was like, oh, this is good. I love it when the Lord confirms and leads and guides. Amen? This is real stuff. I love it. Amen. All right. So I want to be a success. And men, I think you want to be a success too. Take care of that beautiful, precious woman. You're the one who married her, right? Okay, then. You want to be a great man, a great dad, a great husband, a great Christian? Treat your wife right. So how's your dwelling? How's your home? By the way, it's husband and wife, not necessarily man and woman, but I won't get into all that details. Can I read one more verse, a couple more words? We'll be done in just a moment. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I mean, it's like you get a double whammy. You already got her. There's the favor. Man, I found a good wife. And the longer and longer we're married, I keep thinking, wow. Wow. And if my kids ever rise up, now this is, I don't think this has ever happened. Our oldest has just turned 23. If my kids ever rose up in open rebellion against my wife, they'd be dead. There'd be a burial, okay? You're thinking, man, you got anger problems. Okay, there's no way they get to treat my wife like that. Amen? Okay, so if I see one of my children treating the other child badly, I apply the same principle to them. I say, that's my kid. You don't get to treat my kid like that. Kid, amen. Stick up for them, protect them, love them, cherish them, honor them. They're an heritage of the Lord. Now I'm going to the kids now, so I'll just stick with the wives, all right? So can I just say this? Well, all right. If you have a wife, it's too late. You got her. Amen. It would be good if you loved her. It would be good if you liked her. All right. If things have been drifting, and I'll tell you, there was a time in our marriage where we kind of started having a bit of a, we had a bit of a cold war for a little while. Just being perfectly honest with you, we had a bit of a cold war going on in our marriage. Can't believe it, Mr. Excellent Pastor. And you know what? I didn't like it, and she didn't like it. And it was unspoken. We knew it was there. But you know what I did? I didn't do 50-50. It was time for Chris Corrigan to do 100% of his biblical, honest, God-given duties to go 100% and be all, whether she did it or not. So you know what I did? I went all the way and started doing way better and all that. And you know what? It was the secret. It brought things together. And now, I mean, if she was here right now, she'd come up and smooch me right now. We're all cute and cuddly. Right? Right, Ron? Were we faking it in front of the Delver's ice cream the other day? It's good. It's good for your church to have sweet marriages and sweet families. And I know everything's not ideal. There's divorce and broken this and this and that. But you know what? It doesn't have to be joyless and victorious. You got a wife now? Make the best of it. Right? Who in here has no scars from past mistakes? And that's why you and I should be even more humbled to a grace-giving God, merciful, loving, long-suffering, all that stuff. I like that. I like it. Amen. Hold your wife's hand often and pray. Is that a good one to send? Go ahead and say. Well, when she was here for those first 2 days, we would go to that little park there and go up on that berm. I scoped it out and went jogging through the woods. I guess you got some sort of a cross-country thing going on around here. And they got spray paint and lines. I was like, oh, this is cool. I felt like they did it for me. So I scoped it all out. And I go, I can't wait to go tell my wife where we can go. And then I was on my way back to the little house here on the property. And I met her. I was like, oh, man, I'm tired. So I started walking with her. Because I wanted to dwell with her. According to knowledge. And I said, I found a great place. She's like, no, I already got it figured out. She's got one of those watches, and she's doing stuff. And I said, okay. And she goes, I'm going left up here. I'm like, oh, that's where I want to go, left. And then we're going down there, and I go, here, see that little snake? There's a dead snake there. It's been there every day. It's getting worse and worse. And I said, hey, honey, I already scoped out this little track. You want to go? A little route. We went through the route together. It was good. It was really good. And know what we did? We didn't hold hands and pray because we were sweaty. But we prayed, and we walked, and we prayed, and it was good. It's good when men and women pray together. Okay, husbands and wives pray together, isn't it? Because if you don't pray together, think about it, there's probably a tenderness that's lacking. Because you're like, eh. When you're in a cold war, you really don't feel like praying with her, do you? And ladies, you don't want to be praying with him. He's been a jerk all month, all year, I don't know. Ever since COVID-18 hit, I don't know. Pray with a smile. Pray weeping with her. Pray seriously. Pray. Just pray with her. Knowing that God isn't joking around about that wonderful, precious, and I hope that's your opinion, helpmeet that he graced you with, sir. Amen? Thank God for her. Treat her like a queen. I don't think that's a sin. Because there's a lot of ladies in this world that don't get treated like queens. Well, they don't deserve it. Oh, yes, they do. Amen. Let's, how about we bow our heads and have a short invitation? We can bow our heads. I don't know if you guys stand up here or whatever, but Heavenly Father, we just heard a few simple words, a few good principles from one verse and tied it with a few others. And God, if you have moved on the hearts of any man or woman or young person in here, God, I pray right now in our pews, we would humble our hearts. We would, because Father, we know that if we don't humble ourselves, you'll do it for us. It'd be a whole lot better if we just do it now. God, humble us. Help us to bow the knee and to fear you and to treat that precious wife the way that you have told us. Father, it's only right, and you know it. God, would you please have your way? In Jesus' name. All right, every head bowed, every eye closed.